All right, we can only put off talking about the Drake panic and why Joe Milton was traded away and what are we going to do with our broken sophomore quarterback for so long. As I jest, everybody, relax, R-E-L-A-X. I think we all should. Even if somebody like Greg Bedard is saying, like, people, you're making too much of this, and he loves trolling Pats Nation and the football masses at large. Pop Douglas spoke to what he's seeing from Drake May and the kind of energy that he's putting out on the field thus far.
What's the process been like with Drake?
Man, it's been good. You know, like I said, he's becoming a leader, and he's been working. And he's working hard. He's been here. He'd be first one in, last one out. So,
first one in, last one out. I mean, we're used to hearing that from the days of old when banners were hung and duck boats were ridden on as opposed to left for the tourists. So that's great to hear, but what would you chalk up Drake's four picks in the competitive portion of practice out of the eight pass attempts? To me, it seems like, you know, it's a little careless. Like, let me just test that. Let me just take this new fancy car out for a drive. You know, he's learning Josh's system. And again, I'd like to remind everyone, it's also May. So if we're going to experiment, if we're going to make mistakes, now is the time to do so. Alarming as a 50% INT rate may be.
So I don't think it's all about Drake, and that's not to excuse the sloppiness, but I think that while the guys seem to understand the expectations from McDaniels and Vrabel about like who's on the field and the condition that they should show up in and all of those details, they just don't seem to completely know where to be out there at all times. Mm-hmm. And again, this is still the learning portion of the offseason program. And so a couple of those were, there's some Drake's throw looking to the flat. Mm-hmm. It seemed like somebody who was supposed to be out there wasn't out there, gets picked off. Just some miscommunications for sure. And I think a lot of it is just, I don't like all of a sudden people are looking, oh my God, is there going to be a regression from Drake? Are the turnovers that we saw last year, like we gave too much of a silver lining because we saw his natural athletic talent and there wasn't a lot of that out on the field, but now he has to do the decision-making to put the whole offense on his back. Like, I do think it's so early in the program that there's no denying that first competitive segment was very sloppy and the turnovers were very noticeable. And at the same time, I think context matters, where it's easy to come out of this and say four interceptions in eight attempts, like that is brutal.
What's he doing out there? He's a mess. Yeah, he's regressed. Look at what's out
there. It's like, in my opinion, one of them was a deflection. Mm-hmm. And then one of the others, I thought it probably would have been a sack in real time. So I don't know if you think that that's better or worse. But I think that there's just so much context that needs to be around those, where it wasn't all Drake. It was an offense that doesn't know each other and doesn't completely know the system yet. Mm-hmm. And so some miscommunications, some timing that's off. And hopefully they'll get there.
Yeah, I'm not really worried because, first of all, you don't have your number one receiver out there in Steph Diggs, and hopefully he's well enough to participate sometime later this summer. Might have to begin the season on the physically unable to perform list. Perhaps not. You know, maybe we shouldn't be duped by all the videos we see on our timelines of him recovering at an absurd rate, already out there now looking like he's in midseason form, not 6.5 months into ACL reconstructive rehabilitation. Last year, he started just over half the season and didn't have a good line, was getting to know the receivers, sub-level, and that's being generous and kind, level talent and playmakers surrounding him. Now, you give him Kyle Williams. Now, you give him Travion Henderson. Now, Pop Douglas is a year further along. Now, Kayshon Booty should be more confident in his role. You've got the dependability of Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper as well. Like, things should settle down and he should have more time to process, read, digest the playbook, and then analyze the field as he surveys looking for an open target or where he should scoot and boot, because I don't think it's going to be one Mississippi. Holy shit. Like, I think now it's going to be a little bit more like he have 2 seconds, have 3 seconds, while on the other side, the defense should be able to push the pocket, force the issue more, as opposed to five Mississippi, six Mississippi for opposing quarterbacks and defenses to rip them up. So both sides should contribute to a greater sense of calm for Drake May. And I think we should see a little more resolution in June when they get together for mini camp. And then by the time he gets to training camp, that should be enough time to digest and start to look like the guy who in flashes last year looked like an elite potential top 10 QB.
Right. And I would say that this part of the offseason program is about install and learning the different systems and your roles in it and understanding where everybody fits if they have a place. But also so much of it is fine tuning your mechanics, no matter what position you play. And that's something that in the drills for sure, it's like, okay, pull this guy to the side. And obviously Mike Vrabel is incredibly hands-on with this, but saying like, hey, the route that you just ran here, like you have this little hitch here, we need to stop that. Or you're popping your leg up. That's a giveaway that you're going to be the target here. Don't do that. You know, yeah. Like there's
tells. You got to watch out for those tells. Exactly. Yeah.
There's this balance that the coaching staff is working on right now, at least from the perspective of being on the sidelines at camp, that you've got the big picture stuff, which can only come with reps and time. But then you also have the little fine tuning. And I think for people who are watching charting very closely, I'm not a camp stats person. I think the context just matters too much around it. But I think for people watching charting, some of it is saying, hey, like, are some of these physical tells or inadequacies, like the guys who are returning from last year, have they fixed those enough? Have they progressed enough? And I understand that criticism. For me, I personally can't see enough of a quarterback's throwing motion. Like, I'm not a quarterback coach. So I don't understand.
We already heard about the hitch coming
back.
I never hear that word again, except when people talk about Will Smith movies. I'll be thrilled.
Okay, so I'm not going to go into that. But what I will say is part of the program right now is correcting those things. And identifying. And I think sometimes when you think about last year, it's a question of like, aside from Alex Van Pelt, was there enough correction with, say, the route running among the wide receivers, understanding the spacing? So it's all just that balance in camp right now.
Yep. And once they finish up the OTAs in this delicious, delightful mid-November weather that we're experiencing in the run-up to Memorial Day weekend, the Pats will go away for a few weeks, and then they have mini camp in June, and we'll get our next taste, we'll get our next tease, and our next look at what Drake's like and how quick the timeline king is, and is Travion Henderson the answer, and oh my God, Milton Williams can't be stopped, and he and Barmore are going to be...
Oh, Fitzy. The other highlight, though.
Yeah.
The other highlight from the competitive period, your guy with the popcorn, Javon Baker.
That's right. I heard Javon Baker made a bit, and it was...
He fought off his defender for a beautiful, contested catch that made everybody go, well, this check the roster. That was Baker.
That's why we opened with that Mike Vrabel line about all the receivers getting a chance. And that's why you wrote on .com about how this is going to be so fascinating to watch. Can Polk be salvaged? Is Javon Baker the legitimate outside big body sure-handed X he was at University of Central Florida, who lost his way completely due to immaturity and so many other issues last year? Is Kendrick Bourne on this team? Can Pop Douglas really be the little guy in a McDaniels offense that's open and looked to all the time? Who's going to seize those opportunities? I'm with you, because I think the safeties will be excellent. And it was great to hear about Craig Woodson, the 30-year-old safety out of California, already looking the part of a potential free safety. The cornerbacks are going to be borderline elite. And as long as Barmore is healthy, the defensive line is going to be an early 2000s Belichick era nightmare for opposing
offensive lines. Barmore looked pretty great. It was something that our friend Tom Curran pointed out to me on the sideline. He was like, look how conditioned Barmore looks. I said, oh, all right. Mm-hmm. I've been spending too much time looking at the red jersey and the other guys around him. Yeah. Gotta look at Barmore.
Yeah. That's just one of those, like, you love to see it type of things. All this is going to progress. And after mini camp, they take a break until the end of July. And that's when we steer into it. And next thing you know, August 8th is going to be here before like we blink our eyes, and it's going to be pretend season football. And
yeah, I will say I wrote about this for WEI.com, where we started this podcast, hearing from Mike Vrabel say, everybody's got a full room in the NFL in terms of 11 or 12 receivers. That's true, but not every program has invested in the quantity of their receivers. Yeah. If you think about who's trying out for maybe a max of, I don't know, six spots on the 53-man roster, maybe you've got free agents who you brought in and Steph Diggs, of course, hopefully he's healthy and ready to go for week one, and Mac Hollins. So those are two spots already gone.
Forgetting about Mac Hollins. That's right. He wasn't really participating the other day, but people talk about what a mature, inspiring presence he is.
He's a free agent. He's going to be on the roster. And then you look at Pop Douglas. He'll probably return. After that, it gets interesting. So Kyle Williams, I thought maybe part of some, they're still working through install. So he was certainly out there for some goof ups during that period where there were a lot of interceptions. But let's just pencil in Kyle Williams, third round pick.
That's four right there. Diggs, Hollins, Pop Douglas, and Kyle Williams.
From there, you don't know if you're going to be moving on from Kendrick Bourne, but he's been a part of this system for years.
Yep.
Kayshon Booty, who did a lot of work last season to improve himself, still hasn't gotten over that kind of like 600 yard threshold where he's a serious, consistent threat.
He's over 50 catches, over 600 yards, like, and also a little bit of an attitude issue that led him to be a name that was floated during the draft time of possibly getting moved on from. And then you got the two kids they took last year.
Yeah, and Jalen Polk, you know, second rounder, I think that they still see him as that Jakobi Meyers type. And if you can have him be a consistent outlet for Drake, you want to try to make that work. You don't want to give up on a second round pick after 1 year. So after that, you get to Javon Baker, you get to somebody like Efton Chisholm, who
Patriots legend Efton Chisholm. That's 9-10 guys competing for 5 to 6 spots.
Yeah, and so then you wonder, okay, well, then it starts even to become a competition for who's going to be battling for a returner spot on special teams. Like, not even just who's going to prove themselves to be able to be really explosive just anywhere that they're asked to do. And so they have a lot of quantity. The question is where the quality is at. And I think there may be some real surprises as we move through this offseason with how the wide receiver room looks. That's why it's the most interesting to me.
So Drake, let's not push the panic button just yet, but let's make sure we keep our one good eye on him so that he grows out of some of those issues that he fell into, forced, or developed last year. The wide receivers room, very intriguing, with possibly 10 candidates competing for 5 to 6 spots, with a leader who has a lot to prove after he got paid a big old bag of cash as he recovers from offseason surgery as well. We're feeling really good about the defense thus far, but again, months away, and we were duped, tricked, hoodwinked, and bamboozled into feeling good about the defense last year, and look what that got us. Mego, great stuff, great thoughts, great observations. Guys, make sure you give her a follow at Megan, M-E-G-H-A-N underscore Ottolini. And of course, you can always hear her on the weekends at WEEI, jumping in with us on the afternoon show on occasion. And of course, all her great work at WEEI.com as well. And you guys know where to find me as well. On the afternoon show, your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens at Fitzy GFY. We'll be back with more podcasts on the regular next week. We're going to be talking about flag football in the Olympics as well. What's up for the Patriots post Memorial Day? We'll be talking about some of the new NFL rule changes. This is kind of a nice little general football appreciation period, Mego, to get into. Then we get mini camp, and then we kind of step back and everyone pumps the brakes, gets a breath of fresh air, maybe an Aperol spritz or a G&T. Next thing you know, it's the end of July, and here we go. All hands on deck. Any final thoughts, Miss Ottolini?
None for me. I'll be at OTAs again next week, so we'll see even more. More sprinting, probably.
There's more OTAs next week. There's more OTAs next week?
Yeah. Yeah. We got another one on the 28th.
Oh, I did. My apologies. I had not checked further along the schedule. Oh, my God. We're going to have more OTAs next week.
I might be wrong, but I'll double check.
And you might be crazy, but you just may be the lunatic this podcast is looking for. All right. That's it. I'm not quoting any more Billy Joel lyrics. We'll be back next week with more thoughts. Everybody have a great Memorial Day weekend. Stay dry in the literal sense. Do what you want to do with yourself and your cold beverage hand whenever you get a chance. Enjoy the cookouts. Enjoy each other. And as always, we try to help you guys, the best fans in football, enjoy your New England Patriots. For Mego, this is Fitzy. Thanks for listening to the latest Six Rings and Football Things brought to you by WEI Odyssey and 2400 Sports. We'll be back soon. Enjoy the weekend. And as always, go Pats.